pull up a virtual pew and join us. It's Christmas Eve, and we're together again. Merry Christmas and welcome to our special Scandia Bible Church Christmas Eve service for 2021 as we gather to celebrate a moment in history that would forever change the course of humanity, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our tradition, this evening's service will be served up family style. You'll find an order of service in the sermon notes at scandiabiblechurch.org. in which you'll experience a mix of scripture readings, congregational hymns, and good old-fashioned church family music. Plus, Pastor Monty has a few words. All to remind and to retell the story that everyone must know.
Well, good evening, everyone. Wonderful to be gathered with you all this evening and be gathered together to recognize and celebrate the greatest miracle that has ever happened. Greater than even the miracle of creation would be God taking on flesh. And that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of our Lord, was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born in the Virgin Mary, and so that he would suffer under Pontius Pilate, be crucified and buried, and then to rise from the dead on the third day and ascend to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father on high. There's not one single element of what I just stated that we minimize or are willing to do away with, but all of these elements in the drama that we call redemption is important. And we must, as the church, emphasize. We preach it because it is true. We preach it because it is good news. And these are the very words and message of salvation. J.I. Packer said, "The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation." And yet we live in a day where Christmas has become more sentimental, soppy poppycock, like the verbal equivalent of frosted sugar cookies. And for the ears that people just want to hear whatever the culture is spewing out, whatever seems perhaps innocent or pleasurable, but at best they leave you wanting more satisfaction than the sugar cookie can provide. Or worse, it could leave you feeling guilty. And too often it produces shame and guilt. Each new generation will communicate what they think Christmas means. And a good indication of what the culture is thinking is by looking at new Christmas songs that come out in each and every year. So let me share with you, this is just what I gathered. These are the top 10 new Christmas songs of 2021. "Merry Christmas" by Ed Sheeran and Elton John. Santa, Can You Hear Me? By Kelly Clarkson and Ariana Grande. Home to You This Christmas by Sigrid. She's a Norwegian pop star. Krampus by the Lathams. Fall in Love at Christmas by Mariah Carey. Kiss Me, It's Christmas by Leona Lewis. How Christmas is Supposed to Be by Gary Barlow. Little Things by ABBA. Yes, they're back. The Christmas Sweater by Michael Bublé. And Come On Home for Christmas by George Ezra. That's just the top 10. I found a list of 36 Christmas songs that had just been newly released this year. And of the 36, not a single one mentions Christ. That's what's most conspicuous about these Christmas songs. Back in the year 2012, Michael Horton wrote a book entitled Christless Christianity, The Alternative Gospel of the American Church. And if the larger church can be accused of Christless Christianity, should it surprise us that the culture at large would celebrate a Christless Christmas? Ask a kid on the street where Jesus of Nazareth was born, and only a few would be able to tell you Bethlehem. But yet every kid on the street knows that Santa Claus lives in the North Pole. The culture has changed the greatest story ever told to mindless drivel that wouldn't even qualify for pulp fiction. God, the gift giver, has been replaced with a jolly fat man sporting furs. Apparently, toy-making elves and flying reindeer seem to be more exciting than a young peasant mother who had to travel 100 miles on the back of a donkey only to give birth in an animal stable. The spring of the water of life doesn't seem as intriguing as a punch bowl filled with eggnog. The bread of life is gone as we fill up again on those sugar cookies. And I'm a big fan of sugar cookies. The Lamb of God is forgotten, even as the little lamb figurine is placed on the nativity scene, a most recognizable scene, though most do not know that the word nativity means birth. And more importantly, that the significance of this scene, this birth scene that they have just set up. The celebration is more about the Ancient of Days than it is about the 12 days. More about the prophets of old than the prophets of Amazon, even though they're so convenient. More about the one who came to die on a tree, which was sin nailed, than the evergreen that is living in our living room with ornaments hung all around. The celebration this evening is to help us hear the grand story, even as the Christmas bells are ringing. That drama is what is before us this evening. What can be more dramatic than the incarnation, than God taking on human flesh? Augustine said, man's maker was made man that he, ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breast, that the bread might hunger, the fountain thirst, the light sleep, the way be tired on its journey. The truth might be accused of false witnesses. The teacher might be beaten with whips. The foundation be suspended on wood. That strength might grow weak. That the healer might be wounded. That life might die. That's what we're going to be feasting on this evening. We're going to feast upon the Word of God, because the promise of Christmas starts in the book of Genesis. So the grand narrative of promise and fulfillment ends in the scandal of the gospel, where wretched sinners are let off scot-free and God himself purchases our very freedom. I'm going to share this from J.C. Ryle, since he has been filling my reading hours this last couple months. He said, the plain meaning of these words, speaking of John 1:14, is that our divine Savior really took human nature upon him in order to save sinners. He really became a man like ourselves in all things, sin only excepted. Like ourselves, he was born of a woman, though born in a miraculous manner. Like ourselves, he grew from infancy to boyhood and from boyhood to man's estate, both in wisdom and in stature. Like ourselves, he hungered, thirsted, ate, drank, slept, was wearied, felt pain, wept, rejoiced, marveled, and was moved to anger and to compassion. Having become flesh and taken a body, he prayed, read the scriptures, suffered being tempted, and submitted his human will to the will of God the Father. And finally, in the same body, he really suffered and shed his blood, really died, and was really buried, really rose again, and really ascended up into heaven. And yet all this time, he was God as well as man. Christ is the breadth and length of scriptures, the all in all, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And so we will hear the dogmas this evening, and we will respond with doxology as the Lord leads us. If you'll bow your heads with me. O God of grace, what shall we render to you for the gift of gifts, that of your own dear Son? The wonder of wonders that he stepped down to raise us up and born like us that we might become like him. That by your power, when deity and humanity were infinitely apart, Christ united them into indissoluble unity. The uncreated and the created. The wisdom that when we were undone with no will to return to him and no intellect that we might devise some method of recovery, he came, God incarnate, to save us to the uttermost as man, to die our death, to shed satisfying blood on our behalf, to work out a perfect righteousness for us. O God, take us in the spirit to the watchful shepherds and enlarge our minds. Let us hear good tidings of great joy, and hearing, believe, rejoice, praise, adore. Our consciences bathed in an ocean of repose, our eyes uplifted to a reconciled Father. Place us with the ox, the donkey, the camel, the goat, to look with them upon our Redeemer's face and in him account ourselves delivered from sin. Let us, with Simeon, clasp the newborn child to our hearts, embrace him with undying faith, exulting that he is ours and we are his. In him you have given us so much that heaven can truly give no more. We lift this evening up for your glory and our growth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, we have an opportunity to lift our voices, to enjoy the season and carols and hymns. Let's stand, if you will, and turn to 231, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
O come.
Genesis 3, verses 1 through 21. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man, and he said to him, "Where are you?" He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them.
Reading from Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Now take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Reading Genesis 22, verses 9 through 18. Then they came upon the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for I now know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you. And I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars in the heavens, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice."
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people sake, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribe on Sinai side, in ancient times didst give the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 through 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. And they will be glad in your presence as the gladness of harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor as the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will rise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace.
Let's turn over, please, to 246. It came upon a midnight clear, a joyous sound. Please stand.
It came upon Good will to men from heaven.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And then the angel departed from her.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translates means "God with us." And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
I think we can remain seated. Turn over to 240, please. 240. Holy, holy night.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh."
Let's turn over, please, to 223. The first note.
The first note, well, the angels did say, was deserted.
John chapter 1, 1 through 17. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him nothing was made in that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through the night, all that through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, is who is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Amen.
You would all stand for one of our final hymns and turn in your hymn books to number 224. 224. Joy to the World.
Fitting that one of our closing hymns was Joy to the World by Isaac Watts, in which we actually look to the return of Christ. Isaac Watts, his paraphrase of Psalm 98:4, which reads, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music." And I pray that you all have jubilant hearts before the Lord as we look upon Christ's incarnation, the miracle of miracles, as we turn our gaze to his return as he consummates his kingdom. And in a few moments, we'll sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," for it is the angels that first announce the gospel, first pronounce the Savior that had been born to the world. And we not only listen to that, but become fellow proclaimers of the announcement of good news. And my prayer is that the good news of Christ would be upon our lips and our hearts as we return home and as we celebrate tomorrow. I'm going to leave you this evening with the words of Charles Wyckoff's song, "The Wonder of Wonders." This is what Wyckoff wrote. He said, "The wonder of wonders, as she looked on his face, that this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them, the earth and the sun were created by him. The wonder of wonders, as she heard his small cry, that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders, as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate come down to earth. The wonder of wonders, as a father looked on, in eternity past, this was his son, had sent him to die on Calvary's tree, and that is the wonder of wonders to me. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, this evening, Lord, we have rejoiced along with the shepherds over the good news of Jesus' birth. We have joined the praises of the angelic choir, saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom you favor. Almighty God, you have favored us with the greatest gift ever given, your only begotten Son, light of true light, God of true God. May we never take this, your gift, for granted. May our songs of praise never fade, and may we treasure it in our hearts always and forever. Bless all of us here, gathered here in worship, as well as our church family at home. May peace and joy reign in our hearts this evening, and may Christmas morning make us happy to be your child. And the Christmas evening bring us to our beds with grateful hearts, forgiving and forgiven. For Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray, amen.
And we're going to lift up our voices and sing, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." 238, please. 238.
Lord, hold all ye nations.
Before I pronounce the benediction upon you, I received a text earlier this evening from the Nelsons, Cliff and Michelle, and they had requested requested prayer. Their son, Max, and their daughter-in-law just took their three-month-old grandson, Walter, to Mary Bridge ER in Tacoma. He has RSV, and despite being prescribed steroids and a nebulizer, he's not able to breathe. I let them know that we would certainly be praying. And just at the beginning of this service, she had contacted me, and she said that the doctors have cleared Walter's passageways. He's still laboring to breathe, but breathing now. He may be discharged even tonight, praise God. And they had said that they're remembering us at our Christmas Eve service, and so rejoicing with the Nelsons this evening to hear that. Let me pronounce the Lord's benediction upon you. Let us go from this place proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God in Christ, believing that Christ is the light of the world, that shines in the darkness, and that the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of the Father, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of Christ be with you this Christmas and forevermore. Amen.
Well, that's going to wrap up our Christmas Eve service for 2021. We'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast as sermons, which you can find here at ScandiaBibleChurch.org each and every Sunday. We hope you'll join us. Until then, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, Merry Christmas and may God richly bless you.